From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you. Thank you for joining us again for Let the Bible Speak. Once more, we commence with our daily devotional and our thought for the day. Our devotional is taken from Exodus chapter 8, verse 23. The subject is a divine division. The Lord says, I will put a division between my people and thy people. Division is almost a forbidden word in our society. The world doesn't want to hear about things that divide one man from another. There's a preoccupation today with the things that unite men, the things that dispel conflict and separation. And while that may have a very good purpose in many areas of life, when this spirit passes over into the religious world, it can be most unscriptural, because the principle of division is a very real part of Christian experience, and it's a principle that we ignore at our peril, because here the Lord has set it down on His own divine authority. The division between those who are of Christ and those who are yet the children of the world goes back to eternity. In eternity, the Father chose and covenanted a people unto Christ. Ours is not to understand how He made this choice or the motives underlying it, but to admire and accept it. In each succeeding age, Christ and His seed have stood apart, separated from all the rest of mankind. By the cross, that division is reinforced. We are crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to us. In a sense, the cross stands guard between the church and the world which crucified her Lord. The division ought to be worked out in our daily lives. There is a difference between believers and worldlings. We must see to it that we are separated unto God in our outward walk and behavior. The Holy Spirit, as He works in us to conform us to Christ, will bring about a division in our hearts, that is, in the inner life. Our tasks, our desires, our hopes, our aspirations, these will all become different. There will be a growing away from the world, and in all of our affairs we shall begin to know the reality of going forth unto Him without the camp. Our thought for the day, from Thomas Adams, another great Puritan: better a holy discord than a profane concord.
Thank you.
It's good to have you with us today, and I hope that you've been enjoying the program. I hope also that you'll take advantage of the various resources that we try to make available to you here in Let the Bible Speak. They're yours free of charge if you simply let us know that you'd like to have them. Let me highlight four of them. First, for all who need help regarding the way of salvation and the first steps of the Christian life, we have my booklet, A New Beginning. Second, for those who wish to know more about the beliefs and stand of the Free Presbyterian Church, we have the booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Then we have our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, and finally, our monthly Let the Bible Speak tape or CD, a sort of a devotional and instructional magazine on tape or compact disc. Now here's something special. For some time, we have been studying the Law and the Ten Commandments here on Let the Bible Speak, and we're approaching the end of that series. As we do so, we're offering the book that I wrote as a result of the original messages. It's titled Chariots of God, and it's a 300-page in-depth study of the subject. If you've enjoyed the radio messages, then I'm sure you'll enjoy the book as well. While our stocks last, we're offering this book, Chariots of God, A Study of the Law of God, a book that retails for $15, we're offering it free of charge to those of you who request it. Now, if you'd like to receive any or all of these resources, you should write to us or call. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number for those who wish to call us is 866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you. Continuing our study of the Eighth Commandment, and having dealt with the evil of slavery, we now pass on to think of some important applications of the commandment to the affairs of everyday life and commerce.
People with a Reformation heritage, people who had Luther and Calvin as their spiritual progenitors, should never, never, never have fallen into the darkness of the Triad in the body. Souls of men. Nowadays, there still is slavery in the world. The religion of Islam has always been a slave-holding religion, and it remains so to this day. But for the most part, kidnapping now is, in the West at least, usually for the purposes of extortion. And God condemns that as well. Trading in people has the curse of God. That's the worst form of stealing that a person can be guilty of. Of course, the Bible also condemns theft in every guise. I haven't time to go through all the scriptures in this in great detail, but Amos 3 and 10 would show you that it condemns violent robbery. It then condemns everything from petty theft to grand larceny. Dishonest pricing on the part of a trader is theft. Deliberate lateness. This is a very, very familiar business practice. Deliberately withholding just payment as long as is possible, especially if there are large amounts due, so that the interest may accrue to the man who owes instead of to the man to whom it's owed. What is it? It is theft. Wasting an employer's time and yet turning up for the paycheck. What is it? It is theft. Even stealing to eat. While we can understand a person stealing to eat, anybody who has ever read Victor Hugo's classic story, Les Miserables, will understand the heartbreak of someone imprisoned for years because of stealing a loaf of bread to save his sister and child from death. And that's not just a little bit of fiction. Sadly, in places like England and France, that happened all too often. The Bible would never, never, never allow that kind of treatment of a person who stole in order to eat. But stealing to eat is still stealing. The wise man in Proverbs 30 verses 8 and 9 says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." This is why he says that. "Don't give me riches, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Don't give me poverty, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Benefiting from somebody else's theft. Receiving stolen goods. Knowing something to be stolen and getting a good bargain from it. How often we do it. Or at least it is widely practiced. But the Bible says, Proverbs 29:24, "Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul." And then the Bible has a lot to say on the subject of employers defrauding workers of a just wage. It is true that employees should give a just day's work for their wage. But it is also true that their employer is a thief before God if he doesn't give them a just wage for their work. You think of the sweatshops that still operate in 20th century America. When you think of some of the immigrant farm labor that not only drives Americans out of jobs, but enables us to live in the foolish utopian dream that we can have everything of the best quality without paying anything much for it. Remember, the only way we can have that is because somebody's being ground into the dust and into the dirt. This is what the Bible says. "Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning." In Jeremiah 22, verse 13, if you read on to verse 17, which we'll not do tonight for the sake of time, you will read that God says, "Woe to him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work." What is he describing in this passage? He's describing an employer who pays his people a pittance where they can hardly keep body and soul together, while he can build himself a palace. In the eyes of the world, he's a successful businessman. In the eyes of God, he's a common thief. James chapter 5 and verse 4 says, "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth." God hears them. "Thou shalt not steal." This is a commandment that prohibits social injustice. This is another one of those things that the Christian church used to be very loud in proclaiming. And now we have allowed it to be stolen from us and taken up as the agenda of left-wing socialists. Social injustice. In Ecclesiastes 4 and 1, Solomon says, "I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed. They had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power. But they had no comforter." Is that not the picture of the injustice that we see around the world today? On the side of the oppressor, there's power. On the side of the downtrodden, there's not even a comforter. But what does the Bible say? In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 8, God says, "Woe to them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." This is what our confessional statements mean. By depopulation, by seizing lands unjustly, as if a man must have 1,000 acres of freedom. And to get it, he's willing to drive everybody else into rat holes. Amos chapter 2 pronounces God's judgment on Israel because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. Chapter 4, "Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan that are in the mountains of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy." Chapter 8, verse 4 of Amos. This was one of his big themes. "Hear this, ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to feel." The psalmist quotes the words of Jehovah, "For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord." In the last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi 3, he says in verse 5, "I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." God's word to all such is, "Thou shalt not steal." In the words of Isaiah 58, verse 6, "Let the oppressed go free." God is a hater of social injustice. And while, as I indicated, the Bible does not lay any basis for communistic nonsense, yet the Bible is just as adamant against the social injustice that allows one man to suck the blood of thousands, grind them to powder, to make himself rich. The day of God's reckoning on such is coming. The Bible deals with swindling, betraying public trust or private trust. This is something that churches need to be very, very particularly aware of. There have been scams and swindles that have been practiced particularly in churches, where someone will come along, and this, unfortunately, is not a rarity nowadays, but they come along and they represent themselves as being in this, not for money, but as a ministry to God's people. and they're in some special kind of investment. Trust me because I'm a Christian. They get the money. Hundreds of thousands and millions of hard-earned dollars, especially from the old and the vulnerable, are just whisked away. Swindling is unfortunately all around us. We need to be alert for it, and we also need to make sure we have no part of it. Usury, not in the sense of just interest on money at any in any circumstance, but exorbitant interest. The Hebrew word for usury has the idea of biting. There are various scriptures which I'll not turn to for the sake of time tonight, in Deuteronomy 23:19, for example, and in Proverbs 28:8, you'll find there's a reference to usury. The idea is usually of a poor man coming, a poor brother coming. Now, I'm going to sound outlandish here, but if a poor man comes to you as a Christian, if a poor brother in Christ comes to you as a Christian, and he needs you to lend for the necessities of his life, God says it's a matter, first of all, of law. Second, it's a matter of faith that you give and you do it without interest. Now, it's a totally different thing if someone is coming to borrow to invest. It was John Calvin who first pointed out the great difference between a poor man borrowing in order to live and to give his wife and family the necessities of life, and another man borrowing in order to invest and make himself richer. There's a world of difference. The Bible does not outlaw interest, except it be exorbitant interest in the latter case, but it certainly does outlaw all this practice of gouging, loan sharking, taking advantage of the sudden need, especially of the poor and the vulnerable. When you think of this, I used to see men, and of course it was their business. They would go to certain houses. These folks from Northern Ireland will remember this perhaps. And we would say, there's the Provident Check Man. There's a firm that gave money out to poorer people. And they would have an amount of money, and then they could buy the clothes, they could do this. There were certain shops that would sell, and they could buy clothes, they could do all this sort of thing, household goods. But the interest rate would have been 2 or 3 times what a person who could afford to go to a bank would have to pay. Now that is gouging. And God says that is theft.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.